Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the Aarti Systems Q1 FY 2020 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kumar Gaurav. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. On behalf of Aarti Systems, I welcome all participants to Quarter 1 2020 earnings conference call. Trust everyone is safe and in good health in these challenging times. We have senior management of Aarti Systems with us in this call. We will start the call with opening remarks on the performance of the company by Mr. Ekhi, followed by financial overview by Mr. Nand, and business overview by Mr. Abhiraj. Thereafter, we will have a closing statement by Mr. Ekhi. Subsequently, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before I hand over, let me read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. Investors are cautioned that the presentation contains forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainties. The company undertakes no obligation publicly to update or revise such forward-looking statements. These statements may undertake revision because of new information, future events, or otherwise. Actual results, performance, and achievements could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. Now, I am handing over to Mr. Ekhi for his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kumar. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being part of this investor call. I want to reiterate what Kumar said. We are all going through unprecedented times, and I hope everybody is staying safe and healthy. The company has implemented the required work-from-home guidelines to ensure the safety and health of our associates while we continue to provide seamless services to our customers. We are working closely with our customers and our vendors as a long-term partner to handle these challenges together. There is still uncertainty in the global economy. However, our systems, with its strong balance sheet and deep product engineering and digital services offering, is well-positioned to tackle these near-term challenges and to emerge even stronger as an agile and dynamic organization. Our systems will continue to closely monitor any material changes to future economic conditions. During the first quarter of 2020, we have reported revenues of rupees 209 crores, that is $28.9 million. We had a reasonable growth of 7% against the same quarter last year. Revenue grew on the back of good traction towards the product engineering and digital practices. The EBITDA for the year was rupees 20 crores, which is 9.6% as against 9% in same quarter last year and 10.2% in previous quarter. The margins are impacted by yearly salary raises and conservative AR provisions as offset by rupee depreciation. Profit after tax was rupees 9.5 crores as against 12.38 crores same quarter last year and 23.23 crores in previous quarter. Net profit after taxes was impacted by mark-to-market loss of rupees 6.85 crores on restatement of forward covers. We served $25 million plus customers during the quarter, including five customers contributing $3 million plus revenues. Also, we added five key customers. Digital continues to contribute over 40% of our revenues. We have, however, started witnessing softness in the demands toward the end of quarter 1, 2020 due to the global lockdown. But as I mentioned, we have implemented the required work-from-home guidelines to ensure that we are able to provide seamless services to our customers and at the same time ensure the health and safety of our associates. We have a strong balance sheet with shareholder funds of rupees 350 crores and cash and bank balances of rupees 218 crores to support our liquidity and growth. I will now hand over to Nand, our CFO, to provide a detailed financial analysis.
Thank you, Mr. Rekhi. Good morning to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending this call. I do hope that everybody is staying safe and adapted to this new normal. Let me go into detail of each line item of profitability statement. Revenue for the quarter was rupees 209.3 crores or $28.9 million, quarter-on-quarter decrease of 1.7% and year-on-year increase of 6.6% in rupee terms. Traditionally, Q1 is a weak quarter as clients are still in the process of releasing their IT budgets. But we started reasonably well 2020 with 6.6% year-on-year growth. We have added 5 key wins during the quarter and around 75 associates in this quarter. Our digital practice is doing well, as Mr. Rekhi said, contributing 40% plus revenues. We started feeling softness in demand due to COVID-19 towards the end of first quarter when several economies announced lockdown. It started with delay in start of new assignments, but it further impacted as certain existing customers have also approached us with discounts or credit for certain periods. Few cancellations and longer time for payment. It seems that it will impact our Q2 and Q3 to some extent. And as the business gets tuned to this new normal, we can see a regular Q4. Getting down to gross margin, it was 35.04% in this quarter compared to 36.04% in last quarter and 33.66% in same quarter last year. Reduction of 100 basis points quarter on quarter is mainly due to impact of increase in salary, decrease in utilization as offset by rupee depreciation. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses decreased quarter on quarter by rupees 1.79 crores. It was rupees 53.17 crores in this quarter compared to 54.96 crores last quarter. The decrease is mainly due to adoption of Ind AS 116 effective this quarter, which resulted into recognition of right of use assets and corresponding lease liabilities for long-term leases arrangement. Now we have to classify lease rental as depreciation and interest expense as against rental expenses, which we have to present earlier in SG&A. However, it does not have any significant impact at net profit level. EBITDA in this quarter was rupees 20.14 crores or $2.78 million compared to rupees 21.75 crores or $3.08 million last quarter and rupees 17.63 crores or $2.51 million in the same quarter last year. As a percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 9.63% in this quarter compared to 10.2% last quarter and 9% in same quarter last year. Comparative EBITDA is less as compared to last quarter due to salary raises and conservative air provision as offset by rupee depreciation. Also, it gets benefited from new lease accounting standard. COVID-19 challenges will have impact on our revenue, that correspondingly it will impact the margins. However, we have taken certain cost and measures to protect the margins. Also, rupee at present level is supporting us. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was rupees 6.57 crores compared to rupees 1.61 crores last quarter and 4.31 crores same quarter last year. Increase in depreciation is the consequent impact of adoption of Ind AS 116 as I explained earlier. Interest expense is rupees 1.26 crore in this quarter compared to rupees 34 lakhs last quarter. Increase in interest expense is due to adoption of Ind AS 116 again. Other income in this quarter was negative 1.21 crores compared to positive rupees 3.09 crores last quarter. Other income mainly consists of interest income and exchange gains or losses. Interest income for the quarter was rupees 1.72 crores. The exchange losses during this quarter is rupees 3.28 crores compared to exchange gain of 61 lakhs in last quarter. The high exchange loss is mainly due to mark-to-market loss on restatement of outstanding forward cover. As at the end of quarter, we had total forward cover of $22.95 million with average rate of 74.12 and euro cover of $3.9 million with average rate of 83.70. These have already been marked to market at closing date of 31st March. We have consistently followed this conservative accounting instead of parking such non-cash loss in balance sheet through hedge accounting. Our tax expense was ₹1.57 crores in this quarter as against negative ₹34 lakhs last quarter. The negative tax expense last quarter was due to reversal of conservative tax provision after closure of respective assessments. Net profit after tax was ₹9.5 crore or $1.232 million compared to ₹23.2 crores or $3.29 million last quarter. Reduction of profit after tax is due to reduced operating income and non-cash mark-to-market loss during the quarter. Resultant EPS for the quarter is 80 paisa. Getting down to asset side in the balance sheet, total receivable at the end of the quarter were ₹142.9 crores compared to ₹132.4 crores at the end of last quarter. The receivable in terms of DSO were 57 days at the end of this quarter compared to 53 days as at the end of last quarter. Cash balances were ₹217.8 crores at the end of this quarter compared to 200 crores at the end of last quarter. We have been constantly generating cash from business. Our system shareholder fund were ₹349.7 crores at the end of this quarter compared to ₹338.2 crores at the end of last quarter. We have strong balance sheet to support liquidity and growth in these challenging times. With that, let me hand over to Avirajji for review of operations.
Thank you, Nan. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call. Hope everybody is safe and healthy at home in this COVID time. We'll give you a brief flavor of our global operation. Digital transformation is the focus for us, and we are serving the key verticals like telecom, technology, finance, insurance, healthcare, life science, and retail. Our digital transformation offering include cloud, CRM, Salesforce, analytics that cover machine learning, AI, data and speech analytics, and RPA, robotic process automation. All these offerings are growing and we have substantial opportunity in the market. In the cloud, we work on a leading platform which include Amazon, Microsoft, and Google. We are advanced partners with Amazon, and we are also a gold partner with Salesforce. We see major traction in this cloud business with our existing as well as new clients. Data and speech analytics remains a focus for us. We continue to expand our base in ML/AI, data and speech analytics, currently serving many key clients in this space. Traction is also very good in this space. We have five key wins, as Mr. Reki mentioned, in this quarter. Under product lifecycle management, the US-based life science company supporting drug discovery and development has engaged our system to digitize its product to provide operational efficiency, and also we are doing automation testing for them. Another customer, which is we are working with a US-based insurance player for digital transformation for the existing IT infrastructure and taking it to cloud, also supporting their data analytics practice. Computerix has started working with one of the leading mobile commerce companies in Europe to build a digital interface to enhance its user experience. In Southeast Asia, iBase is implementing Microsoft Dynamics to Business Central for a Singapore-based frozen food processor company. System will improve financial visibility and operational excellence for the client. Another customer in Southeast Asia is a leading Japanese printer electronic component and system device company has engaged ECNet to implement a product certificate tracking system in APAC region. Because of COVID, we see softness in the demand toward end of Q1, where customers are delaying new initiatives. However, we feel it is a short term and we will get stabilized in a quarter or two when the lockdown opens and business will adapt to the new normal. It will impact our revenue in one or two quarters and we see a growth toward the Q4. In terms of our technical headcount, we have added 70 resources during Q1 and have grown to 2,453 in Q1. Utilization has decreased from 81% to 77.6% in this quarter. By On quarterly, by geography, North America continued to be the largest, 68.5%, Europe 15.9%, Southeast Asia 12.9%, and rest of the world 2.7%. On client concentration, top 10 clients give us 29.1%, with the largest client 6.6%. With that brief overview, I will hand over to Mr. Reki for his closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhiraj. Let me sum up. We still face uncertainty in the global economy. The present softness in demand will impact the year, our revenue and margins. Our product engineering and digital offerings will navigate us to handle these challenges. Further, the financial stimulus by various governments like USA and Singapore is providing us with some needed liquidity. The present focus for the year 2020 is to ensure safe and reliable operations for all the stakeholders. We are working closely with our customers to tackle these challenges together. We are also working to protect our margins by discipline and execution and other cost-saving measures. Rupee at present level is also helping our margins. We believe we are well equipped to handle these near-term challenges with niche product engineering and digital offerings and a strong balance sheet. This will help us to emerge resilient and agile in these uncertain times. That brings us to the end of our presentation today. I will hand you back to the organizers for your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask the question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question is open. The first question is from the line of Jitesh Kaveri from Lotus Capital. Please go ahead. The line for the current participant has dropped off. We'll move on to the next. That is in the line of Rajesh Gupta from SBI Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have one or two questions. So one, you said about the client concentration is, you know, top 10 client constitute 29% of the business. I want to know, you know, among the activities that you cater to, whether BFSI, telecom, or other areas, which is the, you know, the best growing segment amongst all? And what are the challenges that you going to face or you foresee in the near term?
Mr. Rajesh, this is Nan.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. As you know that in this pandemic, the travel and hospitality sector, auto to some extent, and retail to some extent has been impacted. Our system exposure is not more than 5% in these sectors. In fact, more than 30% of revenue comes from telecom sector, which has been a beneficiary. So our telecom sector and more so the computerized part of business, which is mainly into telecom, has kind of performed well in this quarter, and we are hopeful that it will perform even better in quarters to come. And about this BFSI, we have some exposure, but I think there are some clients in BFSI, but they are not small, you know, ramp downs may have happened, but I think more or less it is, we are not majorly impacted. Coming on to the challenges, I think, you know, most of the customers, like we, our system is kind of an extended arm for our customers. And most of our customers who are ISV, you know, they are a lot of dependent on us for their software deliveries. So, but, you know, it is a difficult time for them. But I tell you, as you know, that 65% of business comes from U.S. U.S. government is giving a lot of stimuluses. So As of now, yes, you know, to some extent there is an impact. But we feel that as the lockdown kind of ease and things start moving, maybe from start of July, things will start moving normal. And as of now, I feel Q4 will be a normal quarter. So, yes, challenges are there, but I think we feel that we are more or less, you know, covered in that. Does it answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. And, sir, I just wanted to ask you on the digital front, now with this current lockdown, work from home, you know, mobility that people have been clearly restricted. So, do you foresee a quantum jump in the, you know, digital business going ahead? Now, irrespective of the sector that you cater to, what's your outlook on digital front? That's one. And second, do you also service any telecom player in India, or it's basically mainly the U.S. companies?
Avirajji?
Yeah, I can answer. I think that is a good question. I think you're right. You know, the cloud, presence of cloud will grow around the world, because once you are working from home or remotely, you know, if you are on the cloud, then you are not worried about the security, about data, all of it. So we see a lot of movement of existing customer and new businesses that people are opting to cloud. I think in the next few years, there will be a lot of business will shift to cloud. So that is a good opportunity for us. So definitely that is a potential opportunity. And in telecom, we actually work with Nokia Siemens, and they do a lot of serve. They serve a lot of telecom customers in India. So then we work for Indian companies in telecom, but directly we don't do. We work for Nokia Siemens. Nokia solution now.
Okay. And sir, my final question is regarding your employee cost. With this current environment, have you seen the activity level going down, or it is quite intact, you know, in recent time?
As of now, Rajesh, there is not major change in that. Actually, you know, people, you know, as soon as the lockdown started, in fact, almost a week before, most of the companies, including us, had kind of shifted all the people to work from home. And you see, and we are working, I would say, at least at more than 95% efficiency, or even more than that, in working from home. So, you know, some ramp downs have happened, as I said, some small ramp downs have happened. But I think normal, you know, attrition will happen. But there is no major change in attrition as of now.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the answering my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mohan Swami, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to ask a couple of things. One is, I believe we have taken our yearly salary hikes in the previous quarter, before the real impact of the lockdown and all started. So is a lot of companies are going through cost cutting in the employee front. So is there any plans to cut the hikes or absolute levels, and especially the senior management salaries also in this period of uncertainty?
Mr. Mohan, as you know, we are a December ending company. So our, you know, the increment cycle starts from January, and most of the increment, actually I tell you, this COVID problem started only after mid-March or towards the third week of March.
Correct.
So the increment cycle all happens in January, and we had, and you know, the last year was good. And, you know, as a company, we have expanded in SEZ, so we wanted, you know, so we continued with our increment policy without any change in that. Now, you see, normal attrition or normal these things happen. So what we have done is that since 1st April, since this lockdown started, we have kept the increments on hold till the situation normalized. So like for this quarter, like from April to June, we are not giving increments. And what we have said to the employees is that once the thing normalized, that increment cycle, you know, will happen. You see, what happens is that increment falls due on monthly basis, like the January cycle is done. So the next cycle, whenever it happens, we are not giving increments, and we will do it only after the situation normalize. Coming on to the cost cut on the senior employees, I tell you, our senior employees have a lot of variable components. So most of the senior employees will have fixed and variable components. As of now, to some extent, yes, business is impacted, but it's not overly impacted. And whatever impact will come, that will reflect in their variable component. As of now, we feel that we do not need to be any aggressive on kind of salary cut at the senior level. But if the time demands, we'll do it. But as of now, you see, we are getting some ramp down, but we are getting new projects also. I mean, I'll ask Avirajji to add on this. In last 1 month, at least 3 or 4 new projects we have started. Avirajji, why don't you touch upon that, please? Avirajji?
Yes, Manji. Yeah, Mohan, Swami, yeah, I think what Nan mentioned is right. You know, there are customers who have ramped down, and there are customers who have ramped up as well. As well as we have signed at least 4 customers in last, you know, 6 weeks. So, and a lot of potential proposal that we are talking, they may be delayed by 4 weeks, 6 weeks, but we are sure that I think we are going to sign many of them. So it is a pain for next 1 quarter, 2 quarter. And I definitely see industry will, the demand will surge in Q4. So we are confident of what we are doing, and the new customers are also we are signing. So there is no, right now, there is a challenge, but I think we are all set to handle it.
Sure.
So we will kind of tune to, and we'll kind of adjust ourselves as the situation demand. As of now, I think we have done what is required to be done.
And secondly, you did mention that the American government is giving a lot of stimulus. Now, has there been any direct stimulus to companies like us to retain people? And if so, how will that be accounted? Will it go to improve our profitability?
Well, yes, you know, the government has given stimulus, and we have also entitled for that. And so the point, I mean, accounting-wise, I don't know what will happen, but I think the whatever impact is happening, so to some extent it will be kind of read up by that stimulus, and we will do, so that is helpful, and that is helping us, that is right.
Okay. And similar things are there in Europe also, I believe.
Europe, actually, to be honest with you, see, we have operation in Romania, Poland, and Moldova. To be honest with you, there's not much. Small rent or something is there, but I have to be one that our business is not impacted. We zero fees, but we have 15% of our business. That is mainly into telecom, and that is going very well. So that is not impacted. And secondly, I have not seen, to be honest with you, any reasonable. I have not seen that, to be honest.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and 1. The next question is in the line of Bhavik Sapriyati, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, this is Bhavik. So I was looking at what you were saying. And I think, yes, it's certainly very interesting that you're talking about the challenging times. So can we, when people are, so I needed to understand as a company that when a lot of the companies are working from home, so people start saying that 5G will be very crucial. And obviously, Avirag mentioned something about cloud. And right now, a lot of people are trying to do this. Businesses are moving to shifting to a mode of online transactions. So what is the specific impact? Generally, they're saying IT infrastructure needs to be upgraded at every level, at homes and businesses and institutions and across the board. So one is 5G. Then you mentioned a lot about Nokia Siemens. So obviously they're saying companies like Nokia Siemens or Ericsson and the 5G stocks are quite hot at this point. So you said 30% of your business is in telecom, and all of telecom is related to this kind of Nokia Siemens or Nokia Systems or whatever that is called now. And so that impacts. So please clarify a little more on what exactly is going on there and how you see the ramp up and how that will impact us. And are we seeing more business from, let's say, competitors like Ericsson and others, or do we have restrictions on dealing with others because we deal with Nokia Siemens so much? And for the, in general, for companies transitioning to this work from home or these special online deliveries and of product, how exactly is that impacting us and how can we benefit from that? So what is the, so give me some examples on what's going on there. So whoever will, maybe Avirag can talk about that or.
Sure, I can give some input and then you can jump in later. But you asked about, you know, the telecom, are we restricted not to work with Ericsson or others? We are not actually. So we can work with anyone directly. There is no compete with Nokia Siemens. We work for Reliance actually through them. We work with Bharti through them. And whichever they work in North America, there are a lot of projects that Nokia is doing. We work through them. And there is, we can work directly as well. AT&T is also our client directly. So there is no restriction on us not to go anywhere. We are free to go anywhere. So that is one. Second, Bhavuk, you know, obviously...
Then if that is the case, then why are we so heavily... Because if we have a team and expertise in that area, then why are we not with any other... Because I think that Reliance is a little dangerous. I don't mean Reliance as a company. I mean Reliance on Nokia so much is a little bit dangerous also, right? So why have we not managed to get other mandates from other customers because we have expertise in this domain?
We have close to 16, 17 customers in telecom. It's not only Nokia, but I think we don't declare that. So I think we have a lot of telecom customers in
Nokia. Like what? Like which ones?
Bhavuk, we want to avoid the name of the customer if you please don't insist on that.
Okay. So fair enough. Then if you're saying... In 5G rollout, in the hardware of the 5G rollout, so Nokia is very actively involved and benefiting from this whole Huawei issue globally. And obviously Ericsson is benefiting a lot also. There's a lot of consumption of those. So I'm just saying that among these 5G major players of that, the hardware side of it, the rollout, that I'm then my suggestion would be that can we concentrate on, I'm sure you people have a strategy for how do we target to benefit. One is obviously the growth with Nokia, but then can we try and specifically target, and if we can, then what is, do we have a strategy around that, and what are the negatives there, that why can't we make more progress with those banner customers at the level of the top 4 or 5 5G players? That I'm sure we don't have those as customers when we're talking in terms of, you know, you realize that AT&T and Reliance and all these are customers of Nokia because Nokia is the one implementing their thing for them. I'm talking in terms of the hardware players in 5G. Are we targeting any other customers?
Avirag ji.
Yeah, I can answer. You know, typically, Bhavuk, I think you know it already, most of the telco work go to larger system integrators. And we can, generally, the order goes to larger system integrator, which can be Nokia Siemens or TechMinder or likes of that. And we work through them. A company of us going directly to a telco operator, you know, for a large project, chances are not bright for us, but we work through the larger, you know, system integrator. Nokia Siemens is one of them. And directly also we are working with various telco companies in US, couple of them. We have increased actually our sales team in Europe, few headcount, and there is a, you know, effort to penetrate the telco market in that space. So we are doing that. Also, you know, with 5G rollout is okay, but for the cloud, it is mainly 5G is for mobile. But for the broadband, the optical fiber or the broadband, so home network, we need 5G will not help.
what you will need is a broadband or a fiber. So that is a hardware piece of it. So we are not into that. But there is an effort to penetrate many clients, and we have identified some named customer now or a prospect that our sales team is focusing. We are also developing certain framework which might help us to penetrate it at a very broad level.
Okay, so Abhiraj, I think my question was, you should correct my understanding, that when we have somebody like the direct competitors of Nokia, would it not be people like Huawei and Ericsson? So when they are in running for a job, wouldn't be these some of the customers who are competitors of Nokia?
Can you repeat? I lost your question again. Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, what I meant was that direct competition of Nokia, when there is a project being awarded for Nokia, let's say. So the major customer, the competitors for them, would it be companies like Ericsson and Huawei and these other large players in the 5G equipment market?
Yeah, Huawei and Ericsson, definitely they compete and there is the opportunity. Actually, we did work for Huawei, by the way. I don't know, I mentioned the name, then said no, but we did work for Huawei. Still, I think we do some work for them. Ericsson, again, we are trying to do some tie up with them. So Ericsson is again a potential. But Ericsson is a large company, you know, so we are still trying to talk to them, actually.
Yeah, so as long as you have... I get what you were saying, that cloud is one side where the opportunity is right now on the broadband and all the other, the stuff that you're talking about. But I'm saying on the 5G side, on the telecom rollout of the 5G side, on the mobile side, that there is also a lot of opportunity. So I was just trying to understand that there is right now a lot of focus globally on that side of the market also, that there are opportunities there. So as long as you are trying to tap and grow, because if we have expertise, maybe my understanding of the technology is not that good, but what I realize is once you have a team that has developed expertise in one area, then it is always good to try and find other customers who can benefit from the expertise of that team. So the team that you have that focuses on Nokia, so I think my question can be put in another way, that the team that you have for Nokia, who are some of the other customers which that team can work with?
You rightly said, can be one, Ericsson can be another one. We were trying to get into one of the telco company, actually. Because Accenture also do a lot of system integrator work. So through them also, okay. we are exploring options.
So where is this marketing team which is exploring these? Is that located out of Noida, or is that in Europe, or is that in North America? So where does this focus for getting those customers? Which team would be working on? So have we a team leader within our company that is focusing on that, or how is that being identified, and how do we get to those other customers? Whose responsibility is that?
Larger marketing team is based in Noida, but every location we have a small subset of that team. For telco, let's say Europe, definitely we have a marketing and sales team, but a larger team in creating all the funnel, collateral, supporting, and all that we do from Noida. For every location, we have a subset of that team.
I guess my question can be worded again. What I'm asking is that have we identified an individual within our company? So to whom we say that if this is our team of if telecom is our largest, one of our largest verticals, let's say, and who will look at, because in the foreseeable future of the next 1 year or 2 years, that let's say telecom and digitization and cloud are an artificial intelligence, because that has become huge in manufacturing right now. For companies to come back from the lockdown, then artificial intelligence, telecom, and the infrastructure, the cloud and digitization. So these are obviously the focus areas. So I'm trying to understand that as a company, have we now created And because that should be that how do we increase market share and in this growing, in these growing businesses. And so in that, let's say we have a very good team in telecom. Now, I'm just, or maybe that's just a suggestion, is that if we can have some team formed and with one identified person that focuses that how do we capture more and more business in these growing verticals. So one is obviously the telecom sector of that, which will grow. And within telecom, the 5G is growing rapidly globally and will continue. And then obviously my question would be across these verticals, whether it is the artificial intelligence-based manufacturing or artificial intelligence in business in general and across the board, and then digitization and cloud, because all these are benefiting from the current situation, and that's a trend which is getting reinforced more now through this. So I guess what I'm trying to understand is that I understand you have teams everywhere, but this should, this probably, maybe Rikiji, the question could be for you, that as a company, do we want to create a team and individuals who are tasked with the fact that we need to get targeted business share in these verticals and grow, not just growth within the company, but as, even as a percentage and market share and business share. So I'm just trying to understand your mind on how we are approaching these sectors.
Babuk, I understand what you're saying. The telecom market is a big market, and today it is definitely a market to go after. But also, it's not an easy segment to penetrate. From Noida as well as from Europe, we have teams who are working on this segment and trying their best to get more customers and also get a more market share. What I hear you say is that we need to give a little more attention and focus on this area, and that is a good suggestion. And I will review it a little more, because that is a lucrative segment, and our folks in Europe are following that, and something more can be done, we should.
Rikisa, because what I understood is that your main marketing people or our highest paid marketing people are sitting in the US. So I was trying to figure out whether that team which is sitting in the US and which is supposed to be our crack marketing team, that if we are tasking them with the responsibility of the growth in these segments, because I see it's not, you know, because there's a reality which has hit home to a lot of people. I mean, I'm talking to a bunch of experts in this, but I don't mean to sermonize. But what I feel is that at this point, obviously we're seeing this tremendous shift, which is almost like a seismic shift in this business, where people are realizing that working from home has actually become a reality, and a lot of people will not go back to going to this thing. So I guess all these areas, if that's going to be a focus, and if our major customer is sitting in Europe in that, and if some of the other players in that are also, let's say, in Europe and Asia, who are the major players there, I don't know, because with Lucent and all that, or what happened with out of Motorola and US, because Motorola doesn't figure as one of our top customers, and I don't even know what's the status of the business anymore. But if that is the case, so yes, my at least as a layman, my understanding there would be that if we can form within the company a team that can go after these customers, and if Europe is a thing, then within Europe, who's the person who would be tasked? So I guess, yes, if my suggestion there would be if there could be a more sharper focus with certain targets in terms of market share, and then why, at least we find in a lot of other businesses that if you have a team that develops expertise in one area, then we have to market that team. So my understanding is that Noida has developed amazing expertise in this kind of telecom sector, and how can we market that better by having the best marketing talent in the company focused on that? So I think that is what I was trying to suggest there. So I guess you already said that that's something you can look into. So Abhiraj, then maybe we can finish off on the. I interrupted you while you were answering me in those. If we can talk similarly about those other verticals that from telecom, then if you can tell me a little about the digitization cloud and the specific areas in which we can benefit right now, and even on artificial intelligence, that as companies come back out of this lockdown, that there will be a lot of focus there. So do you see that, or can you highlight that a little bit, that how that could help us over the next couple of quarters?
I would just tell you, for every vertical that we have played with, telecom, banking, healthcare, or any horizontal, we call them cloud, RP, analytics. For each one of these horizontal and vertical, we have a practice head who help, you know, sales and marketing as well as the delivery team. So each one of them, we have a practice head who work, you know, in with sales, marketing, delivery. Does it answer, or is it a different answer?
Yeah, no. So I'm only asking that to non-technical people like myself, if you were to explain the changes that are taking place right now in the, let's say, starting from the when this craziness started of mid-March of these kind of forced lockdowns all over the world, that in those things, that how is the opportunity for us to grow from that in. So if you were to try and explain to a layman that why does the opportunity in digitization or cloud increase because of what's going on right now in the world, and then same thing on the artificial intelligence side, are there any specific examples that you can give us or tell us about how that is, even if take names of customers, I realize that, but I'm saying that how is that actually benefiting our practice? Because of these changes that are happening in the way we work right now.
Hello.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. So what I can say, let's take one example of, you know, with the COVID situation, people want to be less in the office or in the factory. So robotic process automation is one area where people will expand their base. So if you want to, you know, have people not in the office, do remotely or reduce, depending on manpower, RPA is one thing which will help. Cloud is another area, all the infrastructure which is in office everywhere, a lot of people want to move it to cloud. Put the simple vision, security, you know, availability and all that hassle which are there on-prem will be over. So many, many customers are already moving or thinking or moved. Few years down the line, 3 years, 4 years down the line, we will see very, very less, I think, enterprise application on premises. Most of it will be on the cloud. So they are amazing opportunities in all these spaces right now, with RPA, be it on the cloud. And, you know, all MLA, you mentioned another thing, you know, all the analytic work. Once things go remote, people are, a lot of data gets generated. And from there, you can do a lot of insights from the data, and all the ML AI, the needs are growing and they will even further grow down the line. More data will get generated. So it is, you know, in next few years there will be a lot of opportunities and industry will reshape in a very different way, and it will throw a lot of opportunity to all of us. I see, so, you know, in next 2 quarters maybe there is a, you know, slowdown, but once it is open up, I think we will have a resource issue. We may have to hire more people.
So, you know, in fact, Abhiraj, when I'm talking to companies right now, even in U.S., the general feeling is that out of this $4 or $5 trillion of stimulus, the total, or some people, the way how you look at it, 6 trillion, 7 or 2 or 4, whatever is that amount of the stimulus that is being put into the system, almost every company or organization I speak with right now, they're saying 50 to 60% of that money, ultimately, the first priority for every company is IT, infrastructure, digitization, and artificial intelligence, that they want to be less manpower dependent, people working flexibly from home. So when I think about it, so let's say if there is $4 trillion or $5 trillion of money that is going to get poured into these areas just in US alone. So I think that obviously means that companies such as our systems, if they are smart, they in fact tend to benefit. So not forget about 2 quarters down the line, as people come back to work, let's say I was talking to one real estate major player in Chicago, and when we started discussing some business, the first thing they said is that we are right now upgrading our all our IT infrastructure and the entire whatever is our basically the infrastructure that supports, so that we are prepared for anything if there are multiple lockdowns. And if we have to go back into a lockdown, we are better prepared if there is multiple cycles of this virus or any new virus. So it was just a thought process. So I wanted to ask you as a technical guy, that does when companies tell me that, let's say a company which is doing $100 million worth of business or 200 or 500, not mega companies, even the mid-sized companies, if they say that we are working on our digitization or on our infrastructure budget, or manufacturing companies are saying that we'll not hire the people back, we want to focus on robotics and AI and all that and automation, does that create opportunities for our company, for our systems in specific? And that is, I think, probably my question to you.
Definitely, yes. You know, we are already, some of the customers that I mentioned, we started last quarter, at least two of them, we are moving their infrastructure to cloud. So it definitely grew opportunities, and, there is ample opportunity, and for us, we are rightly, positioned, and we are, working all the leading technology right now.
Okay. What that leads me to believe is that let's say there has been stimulus by this, what you people mentioned, what I heard Nan mention was US and Singapore has been the primary two geographies that the company has benefited from some kind of stimulus. But and that probably will help us in terms of this quarter performance, and maybe a spillover effect into the next quarter, the third quarter. But by itself, the third and fourth quarter may actually get transformed because of this demand for, a lot of IT demand I see coming, especially in US, and even Europe is putting in a lot of stimulus now. That's the talk that's going on, of maybe a 1 trillion euro stimulus in the euro region. So a lot of that is going to go towards these areas. And so I was looking at it from the flip side, and I think my question to you, Nan, could be that if we've already seen your performance in the first quarter, and if there is, it'll be interesting to watch the cash at the end of the second quarter, because irrespective of how you treat it in accounting terms, the stimulus is going to go into the balance sheet. Whatever we receive as part of this package is going to go into the balance sheet as cash. So the cash at the end of second quarter will reflect, it may not be part of your income statement, but we'll interestingly watch your cash and obviously the cash that you have in your balance sheet will be a major weapon, because there'll be a lot of companies that will come out of this in the next 6 months or 1 year that will be quite vulnerable for acquisitions or merger opportunities. So I feel that in fact this year could be one of your, and I would like your comments on that from a finance side. But let's say even if sales is impacted, like you said, maybe some amount of sales, not very much, but a little bit. But in terms of cash, this year may end up being better than what you were anticipating, just because of the stimulus everywhere. Obviously, the company benefiting directly from that. And the second part is then all the work that may come out of that. So I guess the company should be looking forward to seizing those opportunities. So Nan, would you have a comment that actually, we may end up this year with a higher cash than we would have under normal circumstances because of this this stimulus all around?
Sure. Bhavuk, our cash as on 31st December was 200 crores. Today, it is 218 crores.
And so we already plus 18 crores, more or less, EBITDA with some, you know, taxes and capex what we pay and movement in working capital. This stimulus, yes, that will help us. And as I said, Q2 is a bit impacted. I mean, we don't want to quantify, but some of the customer has ramped down. And you know, there are some positives also. As of now, I see Q3 will also be impacted if the lockdown starts opening by end June or early July. Q3 will also be impacted. Personally, I feel that Q4 would be normal. And if so, the stimulus is an add-on, and you know our numbers, you know our EBITDA and all that. So I think I personally feel that we are going to, if the things get stabilized in Q3, we are going to have a good year, even this 2020 as well.
So I'll finish off by saying this, is that if right now the employees can be made to, and I'm sure, and Mr. Reiki is a great leader, so I'm sure he's already doing that. So I'm saying if we can make sure that the employees feel empowered and as partners right now with us, that means in these very difficult times, so if they can be flexible a little bit about how we utilize them and their compensation, because I see this is one of the trends all over, that everyone's cost of living has gone down right now. If you look at, people are commuting less, people are consuming less overall. So obviously there is the cost of living for everybody almost globally, everyone's realizing that they're not spending as much right now. So I guess there is a certain amount of flexibility that the company has. As long as we communicate with the employees and we lead it by example, this could be a good time. And given the high unemployment rate globally, everywhere, including India, may not be directly in the IT sector in India, but globally. So I think the attrition is going to be lower. And I see a very sweet spot developing for companies such as ourselves, which the markets and everybody will realize that suddenly that this is one of the most flexible and probably the backbone of India, the software export, is the sweet spot for us where we don't need physical infrastructure to export. It is all digital infrastructure. And I think that is why if we can play our cards right and show that our team is very understanding, the employees are motivated, I think attrition is going to be less. So I personally feel that this could be a really turning point for the company and a sweet spot, that the future, in fact, could be very bright. So I congratulate the team under the leadership of Mr. Reiki and Avirag and Jindal and Nan. You guys have done a great job. But I think this is the time to pivot and focus on these opportunities that are in front of us. And then I see that the next couple of years could be banner years for the company. I mean, that's my feeling. And everybody, all stakeholders will realize suddenly that the robustness of, and with the kind of cash you have on your balance sheet, and that grows through this year. So anyway, I congratulate the team and wish you all the best, because I see some really good times ahead for companies such as yours as we can focus. So all the best, and I hope to talk with you guys in the next quarter with much better circumstances. So thank you.
Thank you, Bhavuk. I hope you're keeping safe.
my views on this whole COVID are, of course, I mean, I don't believe, but thank you, Rikiji, for asking. But yeah, I just don't believe that this problem really is that health problem. It is more now an economic problem everywhere. But thank you very much, Venkai. Yes, we are all safe. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bhavuk.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other question?
Sir, make an announcement. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star in one. Sir, we don't have any more questions from the participants.
Let's close them.
Thank you. Sir, would you like to add any closing remarks?
Mr. Rekhi, I want to thank everybody for attending this conference and for all the suggestions. And I am hoping that everybody will keep safe, and we look forward to our next meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nand.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen.
Give me a call.
Thank you.
Nand, give me a call, sir.
Sure, sir. Sure.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of our system, that concludes this conference call. Thanks for joining us and we have a good one. Thank you.